Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Jonathan Dyke.
Today is going to be a life changer for you. Again, we've been praying for you during the week and especially this morning. And God is speaking about you. He's interested in you. He is delighted in you. He delights in you. In fact, the Bible says he rejoices over you with singing, not groaning, grunting, but singing. And again, maybe for some of you, you just need to know that. Maybe you've forgotten that. But today, whatever you've done already, God is singing over you. Whatever you haven't done today, God is still singing over you. Come on, it's a cool song. It's not a Kylie song, it's a much better song than that. This is number one in heaven song. I'm trying to stay near this because the guys at the back, I've only got a static camera. He said, don't care. All right, I don't care then, fine. So, because I normally walk around quite a bit because I can't help it, because there's something on the inside of me that just has to come out. For those of you that are part of the church, and if you're here for the first time, you're really, really welcome. I'm here for the first time today as well, so it's great. Thank you to that. But we've been travelling through some of the names of God. It's been great, hasn't it? It's been great, hasn't it? So remember, this is a two-way thing. I have a go, you have a go. It's been great, right? And it's a real privilege and it's a joy and it's been a challenge actually for me to be asked to do the last of these names, because there's a significance around the first names and the last names. The first name we looked at was what? Yahweh. God is. The I am is the I am. Who he is who he is. What he says is what he says. What he does is what he does. And I'm looking at Yeshua. Amen. Yeshua? I am sure. I'm absolutely sure that I'm talking about Yeshua. Yeah. The name means... Are you sure? It means he who saves. And I'm just so thrilled to be part of kind of rounding off this season of just the richness of God's word, because God wants every day to show the snowflake the character of the snowmaker. Every single day of our lives, there's enough of God to show me something new about him that I didn't know before. However long we've known God or not, God's known us longer. However long we've walked with God or not, God has wanted to walk with us longer. So the whole point is about God's ability to make himself known. Come on. Woohoo. But Jesus is the name above every other name. Just say that after me. Jesus is the name above every other name. Now, if you want to use hand signals with that, I do sometimes, but I do it like this. There's an issue in my life, which is here, but Jesus' his name is above here. There's a thing going on in my body which is affecting wherever, but his name is here. There's an issue in my life that might be coming into it, and it's coming in like that, but his name is here. Whatever the name of whatever it is that's coming against you or me, his name is always going to be higher. Come on, you're a bit more feisty this side than this side this week. His name is higher. We sang it, all thrones and dominions, right? I don't know what our thrones and dominions might have been. It might have been hurt, anxiety. It might have been fear. I have no idea. All I know is his name is higher than all those names. And if we come to Jesus today, he's going to prove it. He's going to prove it. There's a little bit inside of me going on here. It's a bit like, because some of this message I've borrowed. Going to be honest with you. I don't mind. I love hearing people that get something new from God. Yes. And I steal it. borrow it. Yeah, I'm going to borrow it. Thank you. That makes me feel much better. I'm going to borrow it because I'm about to give you some of it. But about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I don't know if you... Who was here at the carol service? Do you remember? Yes, Dave. Right. So Dave brought this kind of revelation, which it's not new. It's not that profound. And yet the impact of it has just changed my insides. And what I realised is what I'd become very familiar with, I'd lost the value of what God put into it. And I think sometimes we can be like that, can't we? Particularly if we've known God for a while, we kind of read his word, and it tends to be the bits that we don't do are the bits that we know the most. I don't know if you work that out, because we think it means that, and that's where it stays, but it doesn't. It means this, but we don't do it. And Dave, a couple of weeks ago, was sharing a nativity scene. And I'm going to try and act with my best thespian ability what the nativity scene means to me and to us. Thanks for that. Front row, I like you. You can stay. Who was involved in the nativity scene? Who were the characters? Who were the people involved? Mary and Joseph. Right. Imagine for a moment that that is the manger. That's the middle. Can you just imagine with me here, you have a donkey. It's not Dominic the donkey either. I'll just add that one. Here is a donkey. Over here is a sheep. Thank you. The sheep is acceptable to God and actually was designated to be an offering of sacrifice to God. The donkey wasn't. Donkey is actually an unclean animal. Then over this side, just for the sake of my nativity, you have three wise men. There are still three wise men around today. Aren't there? You see, you're sitting next to one of them. There's wise men. I say that because sometimes my family's... Anyway, it doesn't matter. let's not go there. Wise men looked for Jesus then, and they need to look for him now. But over here, you have three people from all kinds of nations, cultures, and languages. But over this side, you had shepherds who had finished washing their socks. And they were Jewish people. Over this side, you had these other three or however many, and they were not. Over here, they represented Gentiles, but also wealth of information and probably wealth of resource. But over here, you had shepherds who couldn't even afford new socks. They were on the poor end of the scale of finances. And in the middle, you have who? Jesus. Isn't it incredible to be reminded again, and maybe forgive me if you already know this, because you might do, is that Jesus is the pivot point where the unclean can come and be cleaned. Where those that should never really belong can come and they belong. But also over here, even the people that feel of no value whatsoever can come and they have value at the manger. Then you have the other aspects, the star, the angels. And I just, again, I don't know what it's doing with you, but it just helped me realise afresh just what Jesus did before he'd learned to walk. He just did all of that before he even learned to walk, is to reconcile, connect, cover cultures, languages, ages,
wages.
A bit like you and me.
How cool is that?
I think that's pretty good.
So we're going to look at some of this. We've got ages. Pastor Clive's in America. He's probably still in bed. So we're just going to keep talking till we get tired. So we've looked at Yahweh. I've mentioned that. I am who I am. We've looked at Yahweh Nisi. I am who I am is a banner of victory. See, in the manger was victory. In the Bible, it says this. One of the reasons why Jesus was revealed was to destroy all the works of the enemy. He was born victorious. Woohoo! He was born supernaturally, absolutely, but he was born victoriously. Come on! That's why today we need to come and adore him. He's Yahweh Roi. I am who I am, my shepherd. There was a shepherd here, shepherds here, but they came to the greatest shepherd of all. His name is Yeshua, Jesus. We've looked at Baal Perazim, Lord of the Breakthrough. We're reminded again this morning at the prayer meeting, 400 years of silence. It was like God was just saying nothing, doing nothing, being nothing. And then suddenly God broke right through our nothingness and he came with everything. And I just believe, and we believe that today, however you feel you're doing with God, maybe you don't even really know God today. God wants to break through into your now today and reveal his now to you instead.
Amen.
I'll say that one again. However you feel, whatever's going on in your life, around your life, following your life, maybe it's chasing you, maybe you're chasing it. But today, God wants to break into your life in a fresh way. And reveal to you everything that he has done for you already. Come on. This is good stuff. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm talking to myself. I'm always looking for a response. Even if people leave, it's a response. I don't mind. I've had worse. El Shaddai, God Almighty. Abba, not the dance group, but Father. Abba. Amazing how Jesus was born, but he was going to father people. Those that are feeling lonely, orphans, people left out, people that are just sidelined in society, this baby was going to father them. He wants to father us. Glory to God. We haven't even got to the best bit yet. Jehovah Jireh, I am who I am, is healer. Wow. Come on now. Yahweh Sabaoth, I am who I am, is the Lord of angel armies. This is why the whole of heaven and earth proclaim glory to God and peace on earth to all men. Only heaven could release that kind of declaration. The earth couldn't. We can have all kinds of sounds, all kinds of songs, all kinds of murmurs, all kinds of things going on. But when the voice of God begins to come into that narrative, everything changes. Everything changes. Maybe we've been called stuff in the past. Maybe we've been called stuff in the present. Maybe we've just identified with our fridge magnet. Come on. I have a privilege being part of this amazing church of going out and visiting lots of people's homes. And sometimes I go and they've got 20 fridge magnets on the fridge. And the fridge is blessed. Because I don't see anything of that fridge magnet manifesting the people at all. Rejoice in the Lord always and have a face like they've been sucking lemons all morning. It's like, go to the fridge and put the magnet on yourself. For the glory of God. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? It's like, come on. When we come and adore him, he restores the joy of our salvation. When we come to Christ, a wellspring of joy comes up, which the world can't understand and the world can't quench it. Maybe you would say, well, I'm not a joyful person. Well, change your life today, my friend, because the joy of the Lord is your strength, let me tell you. Oh, well, it's not how I'm wired. Then change your wiring. Yeah. Yeah. Go from AM to FM. But sometimes, oh, I could tell you hundreds of stories about the blessing of the fridge magnet. Yahweh Makadesh, I am the one who sanctifies. What does that mean? It means that when Jesus comes into your life, he loves you too much to leave you like you are. Come on, I tell you, your mates are saying amen, even if you're not. Your best friends are. It's like, yeah, come on. It's that Jesus wants to make us like a newborn baby. Come on. We need to have a childlikeness, not a childishness. Come on then. I tell you, we still haven't got to the message yet. What's the time? It's 4 minutes to 11. He is the wonderful counselor. He has divine power to fulfill his divine purpose. Even being born in a manger, in a food trough, if you like, was part of God's divine plan. But when Jesus broke into our world, if you like, heaven followed it. That's why the snowflake, if we just think we're just a snowflake, we just melt. But when you realize that God has a divine plan for your life and he's going to give you divine power to fulfill it, man, you become the biggest snowflake in your town. Come on, Rachel. The Prince of Peace, and Pastor Clive shared that last week. I just love what the world cannot understand, particularly in the world that we seem to be in at the moment, where there's all kinds of narrative. People are banging the gong and shouting the thing and doing the what's it, and that, you know, people think that because they're the loudest, they're right. Because they got a million followers on you Twit Face, whatever it's called, they think they're right. So that's a combination of YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. I just couldn't remember them, but you know what I mean? Just because they think they've got lots of followers, they haven't got disciples. That's quite funny, wasn't it? I'm going to use that again. But we see this nativity scene, and it's the... Let's not lose sight of the power and the wisdom that God was moving in to send a child to live with us. But he's not a child anymore. He's not a baby in a manger anymore. Jesus said this of himself in Luke 19. It said, Jesus said to them, or him, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Lost sheep can't find themselves. They need a shepherd who's looking for them. And again, as I was just praying and just mulling over this nativity and other things, it's just I suddenly realised in a fresh way, I was just so lost. And I didn't even know. And I was stumbling through life and tripping over and chasing stuff and trying to be this and trying to be that and trying not to do that and trying not to do that. And then suddenly one day Jesus came in and shepherded me. And he picked me up so I wasn't dragging my blessed assurance along the mire. He picked me up and put me in his arms and carried me through the things that I can't carry myself through. And he hasn't stopped. Come on. Because when Jesus was on the earth for the 33 years that he was around, he demonstrated every name that we've been looking at. Everyone. Without exception. He provided fish and chips for 10,000 people. He did, didn't he? He provided a tax payment, something like that. He paid his taxes. He provided for those who were outside of life. He brought victory into people that were oppressed by the enemy. He brought victory to people that were bound, blind, deaf, dumb. He brought victory into them as he was walking around doing his thing. Come on, this is the same Jesus. He's just grown up a bit. It says in John 10:10, I love this scripture, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said this, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Say full. Full is Zoe life. It's the God life. Everything is in it. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. That's the life that Jesus was born for you to have. He lived that. People wanted to be around him. It said the anointing of joy carried him above his companions. Man, nothing could stick to the life of Jesus. Come on. And as we come to him this morning, maybe for the first time, maybe in a fresh time, he's going to make you like Teflon. It'll be like you're walking through your world and stuff happens, but it doesn't stick. Because his banner over you is victory and love. You can have either. It's two-sided. Banner on one, love on the other. I don't mind. It's whether we hold it up. So Jesus came to give us life. Then in 1 Timothy, and I love this as well. I love all of the Bible. I think it's... can't get enough of it. Here's a trustworthy saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Did you know that? He was only born for you. He wasn't born for him. He was born for you and for me. Everything that separates you from the knowledge of God, Jesus came to save you from it. Man, we need a saviour. The world needs a saviour. We need a saviour. Whether you've already given your life to Jesus or not today, I still need a saviour. I still need saving from all the rubbish that goes on in my head. I still need saving from all the stuff that goes on around me. I still need saving from the enemy having a go. He is the only one that can save you. And he's the only one that will. I'm preaching the gospel here. I'm not making an excuse for that. It's just what it is. For I am the worst, but for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, God's fullness, the invisible part of God became seen when Jesus was born. Everything that God is, Jesus is. That's why Jesus says, if you want to see the Father, look at me. If you want to see what these names mean, look at me. So in a few moments, quite a few moments, we're going to have an opportunity to come to Jesus. I don't mean come to church, because we can do that whenever we like, really. And a lot of people do that this time of the year. And I don't even mean come to Kingdom Faith specifically, although it's great that you're here. But I mean come to the one that birthed it. Because this little nativity was what the first church looked like. Yes. Yes. Supernatural things going on very normally. Yeah. It was normal to have God speak. Yes. It was normal to have heaven moving, right, if I can put it that way. Then you have things that really shouldn't be there get made clean to be there. People that shouldn't be around, they're made okay to be around. But the centrality of it is Christ in a food trough, in a cave, in one of the lowest parts of the world. If you've ever been in the Dead Sea, you know that, right? It's amazing, trying to swim in the Dead Sea. You're kind of going like that, and you come out feeling like a dry roasted peanut. I have discovered. Nobody told me to go in backwards the first time. I could have put that on TikTok. It was like Finding Nemo. You run in and dive, and the water just chucks you back out again. It's amazing. So Jesus came to save us. Jesus came to find us. Jesus came to offer us eternal life. This is Yeshua, right? Then in Luke 4, and I love this because this is the Old Testament meeting the New. This is where God revealed himself to people. He's now revealing himself through people, but also through himself. Jesus isn't just sending a picture. He's come himself. He wants to show you and me what Redeemer looks like, what Saviour looks like, what Provider looks like, because it walked around doing that. So we have in Luke, Jesus went to church, and as was the custom, he picked up the big scrolls there, the big Torah, and he found exactly the right place, which I find interesting because he wrote it in the first place. But it shows his humanity. He didn't have a bookmark. He didn't have it on a display screen. He didn't have an iPad or any other pad. He went into the where he could feel it. Just a little ploy there about using the Bible instead of that. But anyway. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. What's written? What was written? What was written? If you're not sure, it's up behind me. It should be. What was written? Stop. I've done that on purpose to show why Jesus said, I have come to serve and not to be served. Out of the 8-6 verses, only this one was talking about Jesus. All the others were talking about you. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. The rest of it is about you. That's the heart of Jesus. That's the heart of this shepherd. That's the heart of Yeshua. He doesn't come because he needs something. What he needs is you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he's anointed me too. It's the 2080 principle, which I love. And whether you've known Jesus for a little while or a long while or not at all, you can guarantee this. You can give the 20% that you think you have, that you are, and God will give you far more back. You could be aware of a whole list of stuff which you know you shouldn't just shouldn't be doing that. It can be as long as your arm. It can be as long as both arms. You bring that to the Saviour and he'll give you something far better back. So the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, the empowerment, this divine power that we looked at in Wonderful Counselor, so that Jesus could fulfil the divine plan that the Father sent him for, almost all of that was through him, not for him. Yes. And it is today. If you've received the Holy Spirit, and many of you here have, the Holy Spirit isn't all for you. Yeah. He is for you. What he does is through you. Yes. Holy Spirit is not for me, so I can go around with the hairs on the back of my head standing up. I can do that. Shove your finger in the socket over there. That's easy to do. No, the Holy Spirit comes upon me and it comes upon us so that someone else can come to the manger. So that someone else can experience the provider, that someone else can be shepherded, that someone else can be found. Yes, that's Maybe that's why some of you are here today. Some of you are here because somebody you don't know and you may never know has been praying for you. It's not because I don't like you. It's because I love you. And God's spoken to them about your life. And they said, come on in, God, let's do something. And you're here. Woohoo! The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Any poor in the room? Poor in spirit. This is, poor doesn't mean financially, it means, thank you. Lloyd's a good man. Poor as in, whatever I have around me, it never feels enough. Whatever I bring into my life, there's a bit missing. However many friends I have or I have not got, it's never quite enough for me. That's more what it means. Whatever people think of me or don't think of me, what I think of me is never enough. That's what that really means to me anyway, maybe to you too, but that's my translation, is we're poor. He came with good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. We don't know we're prisoners until we try and come out of the cell. We want to change, but we can't. We want to be different, but we don't know how. We feel condemned because of something. We don't know what it is. But when we come to Christ, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because He dealt with all of that. And again, I kind of close this bit so we can make some decisions. When I was hearing Pastor Clive speak about Shammah. Remember Shammah? He was in the field, right? Here's the picture I had. And I'm going to share it with you because it kind of did something in my own heart. This baby that was born, full of grace and goodness, was the greatest Shammah that has ever lived. Because he went to a field that had a cross in the middle of it. Or a tree, if you like that translation. And he refused to let go of the purpose of being there until he had the victory. This baby who grew up full of grace and love and mercy, he was God, he is God. But one day, a couple of thousand years ago, he stood in a field for everybody else apart from himself. And he stood in that field and he refused to move, bend a knee, yell out, scream. He refused to give the enemy any space. He dealt with everything that was going to separate you or me from the knowledge of God. He refused to let go of his field until victory had been won. Then it says he gave up his spirit and then bowed his head. That's a field. That's the field where victory for you was won. That's the field where breakthrough for you was won. Not in your field, if you like, but in his. All we can do is stand with him. But he went there first. So just to kind of bring this round to historically, he was born to die. He died to be raised. He was raised to be ascended back into heaven. Yeah. He went back into heaven to give you the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen. Every single thing that God did, He had you in mind. You were the precious snowflake in the center of God's heart, in the middle of His eyesight. You were then, you are now. Yeah. Amen. So God's provided. God even provided the sacrifice. Jesus said these, I'm going to read these quite quickly. John 6, it says, I am the bread of life. Jesus provides spiritual sustenance, eternal life, satisfying the soul's deepest, deepest hunger. Come on. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He offers guidance and truth, illuminating a path out of every spiritual darkness. Woo, glory to God. I am the door of the gate. Jesus is the sole entrance to salvation and the Father's presence, offering protection. What a saviour. I am the good shepherd. We've looked at this a little bit. He lovingly guides, protects, and lays down his life for his followers. Glory to God. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. His exclusive path to God, embodying ultimate truth and giving abundant life. This is Yeshua. Are you sure you know him? Because he knows you. I am the true vine. Believers are branches connected to him, the source from which they draw life and bear spiritual fruit. And then the seventh one, I am the resurrection and the life. He holds the power over death, offering eternal life to all who believe in him. That's us. This is Yeshua. He came to complete the journey, if you like, of revealing who God was. But he lived it, spoke it, breathed it, operated out of it. He did then and he does now. Whoever comes to Jesus, he revealed an aspect of God to them. He healed them. He provided for them. He set them free. He gave them hope and a future. He opened up their eyes, literally, for some. He opened up their ears, literally, for some. Come on. This is Jesus, isn't it? Let's all stand up, shall we? I've been standing up for ages, and Jesus has been sat around enjoying yourself. Have you got anything out of this? Yes. Please say yes, because I get very emotional otherwise. No one, and I don't care who it is, no one can stand in front of you and tell him everything there is to know about Jesus. Yes. I don't believe it's possible. Just a glimpse, right? Just a glimpse, because he's just too big. He's too amazing. He's too loving, too kind. There's just too much of Jesus. But just close your eyes a minute. We sang a very popular Christmas kind of hymn, song, carol. And as I was praying about it and I chatted with Jen earlier in the week, and I've even got some space here at the front because I believe God wants to do something now. All right. And what I found in my short journey with Jesus is he does something, I respond somehow to that something, and then he does something else. And then I respond a bit more and he does a bit more. But there's this lovely chorus, "Oh come, let us adore him." And just imagine for a moment that here is the manger, the food trough. That's really what it is. But Jesus is saying today, come all who are hungry, come all who are thirsty. Even if you don't have any money, come anyway. So what I just felt the Lord wanting to do, and we're going to have to do something, right? Mm-hmm. It's great that we can stand in the presence of the Lord, but sometimes we've just got to do something active. Yeah. All right? These guys are just going to do whatever you're going to do, something amazing. And I'm just going to invite anybody, everybody. It might be everybody moves. I don't know. Who knows? But maybe you only hear about Jesus in December. Then make December the month that changed your life eternally. Maybe you only hear about Jesus because you come with a mate and then you maybe take the rise out of him afterwards. I have no idea. But let me tell you, Jesus loves you. And he wants you to know that love personally. And you can come to Jesus again today. Thousands and tens of thousands are giving their lives to Jesus globally at this moment. all over the world, people are recognizing, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Because the Savior came, Yeshua came. Or maybe you've already given your life to Jesus, but you've just realized, hang on, I'm just lost that sense of his leadership, the lordship of my life. Because when we give our lives to Jesus, he must become both Lord and Savior. He's in charge of my life and he saves my life. And it might be that for some of you, you just have a sense right now, so hang on, maybe I'm just not excited about God's word anymore. Maybe I just don't want to pray anymore or just even talk to God. Well, Jesus is saying to you, come. Come and worship him. Maybe you've just really known God and you love God and you love Jesus, but your body is telling you stuff that is uncomfortable. Maybe it's a pain. Maybe it's a condition. Maybe it's someone's just irritating you, but it's something is affecting you in your body, in the way that you think, maybe the way that you feel. Well, Jesus wants to set you free today. I said, Jesus wants to set you free today. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we've got time, okay? And if you're at home watching, you can respond to this as well at home. Jesus is in your room, the same as he's in this room. And as we just begin to sing, oh come, let us adore him and all this stuff. Be brave enough to move from where you are now to where Jesus wants you to be, which is really, really close. Emmanuel. He's closer to you than your own breath is. An intimacy, the knowledge of God, which will change your life forever.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.